action that we've been waiting for. And it looks like, you know, it's still anybody's game. It depends on what you're looking at. We're going to take a look at the president's abbreviated version of an interview with 60 Minutes. Also going to take a look at some other things that are taking place. You realize there's a company out there. They're in Florida, and they actually put a letter in the people's paychecks telling them basically to vote for Trump or risk being laid off. And you'll see that a little bit later. Also, the president's dismissive attitude about COVID-19. You'll get to hear more about that as we go on. And the president, of course, is doing his big rallies and bragging about his crowds. There's already been some fallout from that. There's been some cases of COVID. Even though more people are wearing masks at his rallies, overwhelmingly, people aren't wearing masks. And then the president mocks Joe Biden for having smaller rallies and rallies that are basically at drive-in theaters and people are in their cars and they're acting like we are in the middle of a pandemic, which we are. The Trump folks seem to be more excited about, as I said, he's still playing the numbers games. Look at that crowd. When I look at that crowd, I see a bunch of potentially infected people. This is not a time to be trying to draw crowds, not in the middle of a pandemic. But also, let's take a look at the polls before we get started. And this is always a little dry, but let's see, if you already framed that, and we'll do what we did last time where I am telling you what I'm looking at, but you're not necessarily seeing me. By the way, hold on just a second. I want to do that real quick. Well, I'll be. I don't know what happened there. That's all right. I'll scroll up a little bit more. You mean here?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Wow, folks. Okay.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
There I am. Okay. All right. Thank you. See, that's why he's here, folks. Yeah, I am, and I got a couple of comments. And by the way, if you'd like to give us a call, the number here is 330-595. I got it, 330-595-1600. Give us a call. I really do want to hear from you. Are you, if you are a Biden supporter, are you confident that he's going to pull it off? Are you still, this is a nail biter. Are you still concerned that the president might come back? When I see a lot, I mean, there's really not a poll. I did find one poll where the president got a positive approval rating. But you got to remember, for the entirety of his term, the president has never been above 50% in any poll, except a couple of times on the Rasmussen poll, which Rasmussen tends to skew to the right. But overall, let's take a look at some of the, and by the way, this is from 538, Nate Silver's site, and these numbers are as of today. Well, there is a surprise, and by the way, let's see, that's in Montana, where you have, and Montana is a very red state, you have Trump ahead by 2 points. That's the first time I've seen Trump ahead. Trump is ahead and by 2 points in Montana. That's a public policy polling poll. Public policy polling is a left-leaning poll. So, you know, that just proves a poll is a poll. They may lean left, but in a very red state, Trump is ahead by 2 points. But let's keep looking. North Carolina, which is a very important state in all this, North Carolina has Biden ahead by 4. That's also from public policy polling. And then a more familiar one, you might have heard of the Ipsos poll, and this is out of North Carolina as well. It has Biden up by only 1 point, but there you have it. And then let's look at Michigan, which I'm very concerned about. And it looks like also an Ipsos poll has Biden ahead by 9 points in Michigan. Let's remember last time Trump did win Michigan, but he won in the decimal points, basically a few tens of thousands of votes. I think people are motivated, particularly the way this president has treated the governor of Michigan. I think there are a lot of Michigan voters who are going to take him to task for that. Let's keep on keeping on. Are MG Research, and that was a poll of, only about 800 people. But in that one, you have Biden ahead as well, 1 point. This is all very close. When you get the point, the margin of error tends to be about 3 points. So this means this could go either way. And just want to look at all of them. We can scroll down. Let's go to the next one where Trump's ahead, though. This is a civics poll. And this is in Mississippi. And of course, it's Mississippi, very red state, very conservative. And Trump, that's the biggest lead I've seen on any poll for Trump, 14 points ahead in Mississippi, but they don't have a ton of electoral votes. So I'm not that worried about that. Let me see. PA, there's one that concerns me. And Biden on the civics poll is he's ahead by 7 points in Pennsylvania, and I hope that holds. If he can hold Pennsylvania and Michigan, that's going to be major. And let's see, they've even got Biden ahead on a Florida poll, which is we can scroll down to that. There we go. So Florida. This is from Florida Atlantic University, and Biden's ahead by 2 points. But then another Florida poll, the, Sashwahana polling and research. I'm not familiar with them, but I'll assume they're reputable, and they've got Trump ahead by 5 points. So they're, I know this can be a little boring, but the bottom line is this. If you just scroll down, you will see that there's Arizona, which I'm rooting for. Let's go back to Arizona, and that is from the Ohio Predictive Insights, and they've got Biden ahead by 3 in Arizona. That's major. CNBC also appears to have Biden ahead, so that's what you want to see in Arizona. Arizona has become a purple state. It used to be one of the reddest states in the John McCain days, but then you also see Louisiana. It's in the South, and it is a red state for sure, and they've got Trump ahead by 23 points. But here's a shocker. Well, not a shocker. Conversely, you have in California, which is a very liberal state, you have Biden ahead by 36 points. But here's a couple other surprises, though. Biden is behind in Biden's behind in Kansas on two different polls there, but Kansas tends to be a conservative. It's not a major factor in the electoral college race, so I'm not that worried about that. As I said, Wisconsin, that's what I was concerned with. Can we come? And that's an Ipsos poll, definitely a well-known poll. You've got Biden ahead 9 points in Wisconsin. So if Trump can hold, if Biden can hold Wisconsin, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. It doesn't matter what happens here in Ohio. Certain polls in Ohio have Trump. Most polls have Trump either ahead or they've got this as a dead heat. This may be the one time when Ohio doesn't matter. It seems that Ohio is determined to go for Trump. But as I said, these states that are going for Biden, at least polling-wise, are very crucial, and they could make the difference in Electoral College. Let's remember, this president lost a popular vote last time, and he'll probably lose it again because he's not a very popular president, except with his base. So the end game here is the Electoral College. That's what you need to be looking at. And I'm cautiously optimistic. We'll see if these polls hold. But enough talk for me. Let's switch away from the polls now, and I wanted you to take a look at something. The Guardian again. The Guardian is a British newspaper. They are basically, they work kind of like the BBC or your public radio station. They're supported by donations. In the case of the BBC, there's actually there is a tax they put on your television and radio, and that's how they pay for the BBC. In the case of NPR in this country, though, it's almost exclusively supported by donations. And that's what they've done with The Guardian in England. It was started with a big grant from a wealthy person, and pretty much they sustain themselves by small donations from people like you and me, at least for me, because I definitely have, in full disclosure, donated to them. But just 2 weeks ago, one of their reporters, and let me get the guy's name. Hold on. Did I have his name down? I did, but I don't know where I put it. Anyway, let's take a look at an interview done, but I was sure I had his name down. Oh, well, That's all right. Let's take a look at this interview, though. They came back to Youngstown because, of course, the president in July of 2017 made promises that he told people not to sell their houses and all these jobs are coming back. It didn't pan out that way. And the Guardian came back to see how things are doing right here in Youngstown, Ohio. Well, do any of the sites look familiar there? That is Youngstown. They were down at the Mahoning County Election Bureau. And, but of course, so those are the people who are obviously not Trump supporters, and I'll have some comments from people who do support the president a little bit later. We're going to jump around a little bit on this, though. And by the way, the number here is 330-595-1600. If you, here we are a week before the election, any comments, any worries, are you confident, are you not sure how it's going to go? I don't think anybody knows how it's going to go, but let's take a look at this also. This is what you've heard so much about, the president's interview with 60 Minutes. And I've kind of cut this into segments because, and hold on just a second, did I do? Yes, I have cut this into, you know, actually before we go to 60 Minutes, could we go back to The Guardian? And I might as well show those pro-Trump people because I think it keeps things more in context. And please forgive me for this is a work in progress. And by the way, the reporter's name is Oliver Laughlin. And he the accent sounds more Australian than British. But let's see. That is 458. That's the starting point for this one. And this is where they get to talk to some, these are Trumbull County Trump supporters. And it's kind of interesting to see how this goes down. And in fact, it's also interesting. No, that's not the Trumbull. These are Lordstown residents. Pardon me. That's the one I wanted to show you. Lordstown residents, and they talk to them about why they support the president. I think one thing that's very fascinating to me are the last words of this woman in this segment. But check this out. These are Lordstown people, and this, in fact, this guy used to work at the plant, and they're talking about why they still support Trump. How do you not care that... That, you know, basically, you see what she's saying there? She's not even concerned. The guy's not concerned with the taxes. She's not concerned if there's some type of obfuscation of the tax system. To hear her tell it, that's just the way it is, folks. The rich guys get richer, and we just kind of take what they throw at us. She didn't care, and she's still voting for Trump. I don't understand that. I think we need to be trying to clean our government up. I think we need to be trying to make it easier to vote. I think we need to I don't have a problem with what Biden is proposing. If you're making more than $400,000, prepare to pay more taxes. I think you've had a nice little tax holiday under this president, but in the course of his presidency, even before COVID-19, we were still expanding our debt and deficit. They continue to expand. We've got to start paying some bills here, folks. I know nobody wants to pay taxes, but this thing where major corporations like Amazon pay nothing, where the president himself pays $750, how is that acceptable? We've got the money to turn this thing around. And then, by the way, let's be careful how we spend the money. At least when I say we, I guess we should be careful how our representatives spend that money. When you find out that millionaires and billionaires got PPP loans that they didn't deserve. Or most recently, there was a story today about a guy who spent all his money on his PPP money on a new car and other crazy stuff. There's got to be one of the early things they tried to put into this. I remember Elizabeth Warren and others tried to put some type of oversight in here. What did the president do? He basically fired the guy that was in charge of oversight. This stuff doesn't bother you that you have a president of the United States if he's operating in a honest manner. Why in the world would he be trying to get rid of the people who are overseeing these money programs? Why does he think he should be able to just have his people spend the money as they see fit? No, there should be oversight. I don't care who's the president. And most presidents assume that's the way it works. It's part of the whole checks and balances that you always hear about. And I don't know And Debbie is saying no sound on the videos. Now, I don't know what's going on there. Before we run another video, do you want to? Can you look at this and see what's going on? Okay, and I'm going to just talk in the meantime because Debbie is saying she's got no sound and she wants to know what they said. And I'm sorry you missed what they said. And I'm not sure what's going on there. Mario is on the job. This is live. So, you know, if there's a technical issue, I thank you folks for telling us. And I'll just acknowledge some of the people who are watching. And let's see. Debbie also says Nate Silver has good polls. Yes, I've been following him, Debbie. Don't know what's going on though. And then she makes multiple comments about the lack of sound on the video clips. Hopefully, we're going to resolve that in a few minutes. Because I go on further on this. There's one thing that's said when the woman says she doesn't care. That really bothers me, and that tells me how. That tells me how this guy wins. I mean, I don't know if these people are single issue voters or if they just want to change or whatever, but how do they not notice that, you know, to say that it's irrelevant if the president of the United States is in debt to some foreign country because he will not release his taxes. And I think all of us are tired of the audit excuse because even under audit, that doesn't prevent you from releasing your taxes if you choose to do so. The fact is he's chosen repeatedly not to do so. And the fact is he has international business interest. And who's to say, we don't know for sure, but hypothetically, who's to say that some of those foreign interests don't have some leverage over him? But we'll never know if we continue to let him get away with this. But we think we got it figured out.
We've got an update for
you. Okay.
It doesn't sound promising.
Okay. Okay.
What we had to do is we had to turn off.
Get closer to the mic so they can hear what you're saying.
Oh, I'm not live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Mario's explaining what's going on, folks, so hold on. He said they had some technical issues earlier. Okay.
All right. So we had some technical issues earlier, and what we discovered was that in order to fix the problem, we had to completely close out of OBS, and then we had to reboot the computer because what we're seeing right now is on our dashboard, we have audio levels coming through. So there should be sound. So there's something between our software and you guys. And the only way we've been able to troubleshoot so far is to restart. So it looks like we can either cut the stream or we go without clips. If we go without clips, I can pull up visuals to aid you. But we can't do audio and video.
Wow.
What do you think?
Yeah, Tim says there's no sound either.
Okay.
All right. Well, I tell you what, this is unprecedented. How long would that take to do a reboot?
To do a reboot? I mean, it would take, I would say probably within 5 to 10 minutes, we can turn everything off, reboot everything, start a new stream key.
Isn't that great viewing, folks? Because I think the clips are important. I guess this will, you know, I'll ask you to bear with me, and I think we're going to try to reboot and get things going like they should, because I think some of the stuff I want to show you is pretty urgent, particularly the stuff that pertains to us right here in Youngstown. So this is unusual, never before, but let's do what we must do and try to hang in there, folks. We'll be back within a matter of minutes, but I want you to be able to hear rather than just see those video clips. So stand by for an interruption. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Here we go.
Hello again, everybody. Hopefully you can hear these clips we're about to play. I was just ready to move on to something from I wanted to start with 60 Minutes there. And that particular, yes. Let's do that. You're up from, that's the one you want. So let's take a look. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, and sorry about that, this happens, and when you're dealing with computers and such, whether you're dealing with your laptop, you'll have the occasional situation where you have to reboot because nothing else makes sense, and that's pretty much. I know I'm giving a rough analysis, but that's pretty much what we just did here. We rebooted the whole show. So we'll see. And I am watching the board, and let me know if you can hear the following clip. This is a very short clip. It's only a couple of minutes long, a little less actually, but it's Leslie Stahl's, the beginning of Leslie Stahl's interview with Donald Trump, where he makes the comment that he's made many times about having the best economy ever. And she challenges him on that. And by the way, I've got a fact check from CNN that challenges that that talking point as well. But anyway, so let's see where we are. Ready? Oh, well, let's go to 60 Minutes.
That we're dealing with is not going to bring it back. They're going to raise taxes.
Let me ask you what you think your the biggest domestic priority is for you right now.
Well, or next ultimately, year. I'll tell you, it was happening. We created the greatest economy in the history of our country. And the other side.
You know that.
In.
You know that's not true.
It is totally true.
No,
it isn't. But President Trump did have an impressive string of economic accomplishments.
We had the best stock market.
Okay, folks, we're having some trouble here, and we're I guess it makes my show prep easier for Thursday because a lot of this stuff won't change much in the next 48 hours. So whatever, we're going to go the rest of the program without clips, and I do apologize. I do, because I definitely want to show you that Guardian story on Youngstown/Lordstown, and also had several things that the president said in typical Trump fashion that are just total lies and certainly bizarre for any president to say. I don't know about you, but when the...
We have audio. It's gone.
Okay, I don't know what's going on. I'll just roll with it. And okay, let's see if we can hear what the president has to say. Maybe we should start... Yeah, I think that was a... Right, you are good. We're going to start this over, and let me know if you can hear it now, and thank you for your patience.
We had prepared to talk about the many issues and questions facing the president. But in what has become an all-too-public dust-up, the conversation was cut short. It began politely, but ended regrettably... contentiously.
Are you ready for some tough questions?
You're going to be fair.
I'm going to be fair.
Just be fair.
But you're okay with some tough questions?
No, I'm not.
I'm not okay with tough questions.
I want them to be fair. You don't ask Biden tough questions. So. Okay.
You ready? Everybody ready? So we have the pandemic. On your watch, we've had racial strife. We've had looting. Why do you want this job? Why do you want to be president again?
Because we've done a great job, and it's not finished yet. And when I finish, this country will be in a position like it hasn't been maybe ever. The economy is already roaring back, and other people aren't going to bring it back. Certainly the person that we're dealing with is not going to bring it back. They're going to raise taxes.
Let me ask you what you think your the biggest domestic priority is for you right now.
I'll tell you, it was happening. We created the greatest economy in the history of our country. And the other side.
You know that.
In.
You know that's not true.
It is totally true.
No,
it isn't. But President Trump did have an impressive string of economic accomplishments.
We had the best stock market price ever, and we're getting close to that price again. The unemployment numbers for African Americans, for Asian Americans, for Hispanic Americans, virtually every number was the best.
And welcome back. Hopefully you did hear that. Yes, Tim says audio is working. And wow, the hype never ends. It's breathtaking. People buy it. And, well, they do buy it. If you've seen some of those rallies, you'd think they were going to see the Messiah or something. So he's definitely got his base, and that's about 40%. This thing will be decided by those of you who might have sat it out last time, who might have voted for him. There are some defections. I bring that up week after week because it's just notable that you see the number of people who are having second thoughts, who thought that this was the man for the job. And I think once they saw him in action and they saw how he deflects whines, and never takes responsibility for any of his failures, it's a turnoff to some people. Not only that, in the case of COVID-19, it's a life or death situation. For the president of the United States, on the same day that last week that we announced we had reached a new peak in COVID cases, a new peak for one-day cases, the president is at a rally telling his supporters how he's tired of hearing about COVID. Well, that doesn't make it go away, Mr. President. Whether you like it or not, this is happening on your watch, and so far your response has been ineffective, and I think that's the kindest way I can put it. But I think the only thing worse than the fact that we have 230,000 dead Americans, when maybe we could have lost a lot less if you had taken this seriously sooner, if you had made the American people aware of how dangerous it is, as you did in your interview with Bob Woodward, where you told Bob Woodward in January, early January, that you knew how bad this was. And yet I've played the side-by-side clip where later that same day, the same president stands before the American people and says, it's nothing to worry about. At that time, the death toll was in single to low double digits. But my, have things changed over the past few months? I'm not buying the I didn't want to panic everybody excuse. I think what the president didn't want to panic was Wall Street, because part of his legacy is to tell you that he's got the greatest economy ever. When in fact, let's go to that CNN clip. I wanted to do that one next. Uh-huh. Because when in fact the CNN fact check on several counts, they say, no, Mr. President, not the best economy ever. And in many cases, Obama actually beat you out a couple of quarters. And I think that's something you need to know instead of just taking this president as his, at his word, as we often do. Oh, boy. Let's see. Just a minute. They were in order. Okay. Scroll down a little. Well, that'll prove that point, but let's see, nope. Well, I tell you, we're having a good time here today. Oh, just a minute. Well, just forget that. I hate to make a point. I know I sent the clip. Okay, but let's go to where it says COVID, because I found that a little disturbing. So this is what I'm talking about, though. So as people, this is the president speaking in North Carolina, and I believe this was actually earlier today. And let's see. Oh, my gosh. This guy is so disgusting. Well, let's see what we have here. I'm totally lost, and I'm going to just admit it. I sent things in a certain order. I have no idea where I'm at right now, and that makes for lousy viewing, and I do apologize. But let's see let's see what that is.
Is that sun hot or what? Yeah. I'm going to be a lobster. Do you mind if I cut this one at about one third? Because I'm going to be one hell of a sunburned person. Does anybody have some sun protection for your president, please? This is beautiful. Oh, man. I said to my kids, stay out of the sun, always use sunblock. Hey, always use sunblock, and here I am. That's really brilliant.
So there's the president, not the clip I wanted to play. Like I said, you sure this is not Friday the 13th? Because everything is going wrong. But this is another idiotic comment by the president where he's, you know, it's just like I said during the debate, this guy could have just sent a tape recording in, because he repeats the same phrases again and again. And this is kind of like the whole cult method, where you just repeat something again and again and again, and you have your common language, and they all get it, but the rest of us are scratching our heads. Remember the lie he told about how you couldn't say Merry Christmas while Obama was president? And I played multiple clips of Obama even saying Merry Christmas. There is no rule against it, but I can't believe he's digging out this old chestnut again. But here's the president telling the folks in North Carolina, you can say Merry Christmas again for the umpteenth time.
And remember when I first started campaigning, department stores, they wouldn't use the word Merry Christmas, those words, Merry Christmas. They'd say Happy New Year. Everything would be in red and snow and all the stuff, but they'd say Happy New Year. And I said, they will soon start saying Merry Christmas again. Now they're all saying Merry Christmas again. Right? We will deliver record prosperity, epic job growth.
And welcome back. Like I said, I agree with you, Tim. The hype never ends. It's breathtaking that people buy it. And like I said, the redundance of this nonsense, you would think it was still 2016. And it's like, you know, and the way he attacks Biden as though Biden could have effected any changes. How does an ex-vice president change anything? So, and I'm so tired of the talking point about 47 years in politics. Yeah, okay, maybe once, but okay, we get it. Joe Biden's been around for 47 years, and apparently his constituents thought he was worthy of multiple reelections. Apparently Barack Obama thought he was worthy of being his vice president for two terms. That's the other thing that I think is nonsense. The on the right, they're trying to paint Biden as a racist. So let me get this straight. Barack Obama decides to keep a racist vice president around for two terms. Oh, by the way, that same racist goes on to pick a woman of color as his running mate. I'm trying to figure it out. Is that how racists act? I don't get it. What's the angle? But that's the nonsense you have out there. I wanted to go back to and you are at the right place there. That was a second time around. It was. Yeah, let's look at CNN, where Leslie Stahl interrupted the president when he said he had the greatest economy in history. This is about 3 minutes, but it's worth every minute because it debunks the president's claims because, yeah, the economy was doing pretty well. But, you know, just like when he says he's done more for black people than anybody except Abraham Lincoln, that's another classic lie. Because I know I can look back at the Voting Rights Act and stuff like that in the 60s under LBJ. Even Nixon did some civil rights legislation. But right now, let's take a look at a reality check from CNN about the president's claim that it was the greatest economy ever.
There are certainties in life, death, taxes. And if you listen long enough, that you're going to hear Donald Trump say something like this.
We're having the best economy we've ever had in the history of our country. This is the greatest economy that we've had in our history, the best. We're having probably the greatest economy that we've had anywhere, anytime in the history of our country.
So what about that greatest economy in history claim? Well, it's clear the president's hanging a lot of his reelection hopes on it. But is it true? Well, it turns out, like 22,000 other things, it just isn't. Of course, to get to the greatest economy in history, Trump would have to first best his predecessor. But as our chief business correspondent Christine Romans points out,
even before the coronavirus wiped out millions of jobs, jobs growth in Trump's first 36 months trailed the job creation in Obama's last 3 years.
And as for GDP, that Trump once said this about?
Our gross domestic product. It was below zero. Who ever heard of this?
Nobody ever heard of that because negative GDP simply doesn't exist. Also non-existent?
I think we can go to 4, 5, and maybe even 6%.
We never got there under Trump. Do you know when we did? In the 1960s, when GDP growth was nearly 7%. Or the early 50s, when GDP grew by nearly 9%. Best in history, right? And if you break it down quarter by quarter, Trump's real GDP before the pandemic looks a lot like Obama's. It would appear that Trump is conflating his world's greatest economy with gangbuster stock market results, hitting record highs even during the pandemic. Here's the thing, folks. Wall Street is not Main Street. Get this. 10% of Americans own 87% of the stock market, and nearly half of Americans don't own any stock at all. All right, lightning round. Best unemployment rate before the pandemic, 3.5%, which is really impressive, but not as impressive as 1953 when it was 2.5%. Hourly earnings, up 3.4% under Trump, but up 3.7% under Obama. Manufacturing. Despite Trump's cheerleading the American factory worker, there's a good chance that worker's out of a job today because manufacturing hit a decade low under Trump's stewardship. How about coal jobs? President Trump promised to save the coal industry, but the coal industry is off 25% this year, with at least 5,000 fewer coal mining jobs and more coal-fired plants set to close in Trump's term than in Obama's second term. Finally, let's look at deficits and debt, which fiscal conservatives used to campaign about. They are historically, breathtakingly high, set to exceed the size of the whole U.S. economy next year. No, Trump did not have the strongest economy in our history. Not even close. And that's your reality check.
And the president could certainly use a reality check. And I only played that. We got kind of out of sync, but I wanted to play that because it, you know, when Leslie Stahl called him out on saying that, he loves to repeat himself and he thinks just by saying it, it makes it true. But the simple fact is, yeah, we had a nice run in the stock market and all that, but there were a lot of things that weren't so good. So, and the numbers just don't add up. The numbers are what they are. I love the way they try to totally ignore the 8 years of Barack Obama that brought us back from the edge of global catastrophe economically. And yet it's like that never happened. It's like that, you know, even though we were in the middle of a 10-year record of economic growth in this country, Trump was late to the game. That growth started under Barack Obama, whether this president will admit it or not. We're almost out of time here, but I'd like to end with a fairy tale from the Lincoln Project. And hopefully, actually, you have the power to give this fairy tale a happy ending. But let's take a look on our way out at an ad from the Lincoln Project.
A fairy tale. A man comes down from his tower and is crowned the most powerful man on earth. He gives to the rich and takes from the poor. He makes friends with our enemies and enemies of our friends. And then one day, a disease came upon the land. Fear not, he says, for it is a hoax and will not harm those who believe in me. As thousands and thousands suffer and die, he lies and says all will disappear with a sip of his magic potion. When the people cry for help, he attacks them with noxious gases and forces the children out of their homes and into the plague-filled air of a once proud and healthy nation. We're living in a story as grim as any ever told. And the lesson? Vote and send the man back to his tower for good.
The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
So, yes, get out there and vote if you haven't already. At this point, almost 65 million Americans have voted. And when you do, like I said, if you want a happy ending to this fairy tale, which is more of a nightmare for some of us, vote for the guy who's running against Donald Trump. But, of course, I've made it clear that's how I feel about things. Let's try to do this again on Thursday with a few less technical glitches. There was a lot of stuff I didn't show you, and knowing this president and just this whole election, there'll be plenty more to show you on Thursday. Let's try to get it right. And it wasn't, like I said, these things happen. I will tell you this, since I've been doing this, I have the utmost respect for people on major networks and all that. Do you ever wonder, though, when you look at the credits, why does it take so many people to run that? You think you just point the camera and give the guy a mic and it's all going to be good. But there's so many things that can go wrong along the way, and you got to experience a couple of those things today. I want to thank Mario for dealing with it so well. He's always so even, you know. But and I want to thank everybody who watched, and thanks for your patience bearing with us. We'll get it right Thursday, folks. 1 week away from the election. And by the way, just I did a friend a favor. She's waiting for her absentee ballot, which is yet to arrive. You can go down to the voting, to the Board of Elections and vote, even if that ballot hasn't appeared yet. They can take care of you. She voted yesterday. All the worry's gone. By the way, if you've got an absentee ballot and you're going to mail it, I mean, we're a week away. You've heard about the problems with the Postal Service. I would take that ballot down to the Board of Elections and drop it in the drop box. No stamp necessary. It's just going to go in that box. They're going to pull it out and take it in and count it. So, and you can track your votes as well. So anyway, all that, just a little information there. We're getting close, folks. Please don't drag your feet. Every vote will count in this election. But I'm already saying, as I always do, keep your eyes on the prize.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.